With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Yeah, the caffeine has kicked in. Thank you, matcha green tea. Thank you. We got an awesome show planned for you. Question tonight, as always, up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, how do you confront a partner about a habit that bothers you? This is an important one because this comes up very frequently. And look, this topic has ruined many a beautiful marriage and relationship. So we're going to be unpacking that as well as game night. Why? Because it's Thursday night. So if you want to go head-to-head against me, Dr. D, to win a Channel Q prize package, slide into the DMs on our Loveline IG page and say to Emmy, producer Emmy, yo, I want to play the game. We'll get you on. And also, later in the show, we'll be talking about an amazing invention that is protecting people from date rape. So stick around for that, as well as some couples therapy. But let's get into some news. This has gone viral, the infamous chair reclining airplane video. So for those that live under a rock, push it up off of you, and I'll tell you the story. So a woman videoed her reclining her chair on an airplane, right, which is pretty freaking standard. And the man behind her lost his mind and started punching the back of the chair. Welp, everyone has weighed in on who was in the wrong. Let's read a quote from the CEO of the airline, the CEO of Delta Airlines, Ed Bastian. He weighed in on it and he said, "Passengers have the right to recline, but they should ask the person behind them before they do so, particularly if the passenger behind them is tall. I think it's the proper thing to do. If you're going to recline into someone, you should ask if it's okay first." Well, all right. So, you know, first off, God bless him as the CEO of Delta Airlines. You know he's not flying coach or even probably commercial. He's on a private jet where he has Uber space. So I do want to say to this man, have you flown on an airplane recently? Because, look, I'm not a very large human being. I would probably say, Emmy, what would you say? I'm averagely sized in terms of height and weight and whatnot. Yeah? Okay. I'm not large. And I find those seats to not be comfortable. My knees, I just flew in from Toronto on Monday. It's a five and a half hour flight. My knees hurt because of the lack of room. I was stretching them out into the aisle. Now, imagine if you are taller or larger bodied. The airline seats aren't built for comfort or an average size body, and absolutely not for larger size bodied, because they're trying to make money. It's capitalism at its best. They're literally saying, how many people can we squeeze in there? And so it's an issue with the airlines. Let's not us as the people flying take it upon ourselves to manage this issue. It's an airline issue. Give us humanized space and then all will be well. But when you're stuffing us in there, yeah, people are reclining their seats because there's not enough room. And I understand that that impacts the person behind them. But if you gave us more room, we'd all be happy and there'd be no problem. So let's not blame either individual and really put it back on the airlines to give us appropriately spaced seats. Like, God bless it. But bigger than that, you pay for your seat, you pay for a reclining seat. I don't believe you should have to ask the person behind you, because I personally don't care what their answer is. My seat's getting reclined. So I'm not going to ask because I'm not interested in their answer. But I think it's a very bizarre thing to say that we have to ask the person behind us. Like, give me a break. Emmy, what do you got? Can't wait to hear this.
Well, I mean, it's like,
as a tall woman, and also my boyfriend's 6'5", like, we've gone to concerts.
He's a big person.
And paid the same amount of money that are on the smaller side. And, like, people will, like, say, can you move or can I go in front of you? It's like, no.
Right.
You knew that this is the situation that it is. You didn't pay more to, like, get, like, a further seat. It's all standing. And if you wanted to, you know, see better, maybe you should have gotten there earlier or picked a different seat.
What? Because what? They want you and your boyfriend to be on your knees?
Yeah,
like,
right?
Squat?
Or stand
or
in
kneel?
The back? Like,
yeah. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Like, it... Yes, it becomes very bizarre when we start to make it everyone else's responsibility for our comfort. And I agree with what you're saying. Like, if you can't see because the human being in front of you at the movie theater or the concert is tall, move. But I think it's really odd when we start asking people to relocate or move for our own comfort. I think it's preferable that people say, if I think the person next to me is loud, let me move my seat. If the person in front of me is tall, let me relocate my seat or get moved. But I agree with you. Like, you both purchase your tickets. Where should you go? Stand in the aisle? Sit on the floor? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just how it goes sometimes. I agree with that. And I know also for me, look, I have, how do I want to frame this? I want to be very thoughtful in how I say this. I have a lot of needs. I am not a very simple, basic person. I'm very fragile. I have a lot of needs, and I can be very entitled at times. And so knowing that, I don't expect everyone to accommodate me. Well, sometimes I do. I'm working on it. But in a larger forum, I accommodate myself by doing what I need to do so as to not put the world out. And so I luckily am in a position where I can afford first class. And so I will pay that extra money so that I can have comfort. But for those that aren't in a financial position to do that, I don't want you to feel like it's your fault that you're too tall or your knees don't fit in there. It's an airline sized issue. I mean, and that's why my heart goes out to people that are larger bodied or fat. It's impossible for you to find comfort in that seat. And I empathize with the amount of anxiety that larger bodied people feel or tall people upon entering certain spaces, wondering if they're going to get shamed or made to feel bad about how they were born and who they are. So again, I put it back on the airline, and I really advocate for everyone to do that, to just really pressure the airlines to, yeah, make a little less money and give us a little more space, because airline travel, and Emmy, you're actually really great about saying this. You personally were like, airline travel is horrible. I hate it. And I really didn't realize I did until you actually said that. And when I was on the airplane, I was hearing you in my head, and I was like, yeah, this stinks. There's nothing comfortable about the process of air travel. And in fact, It's a very claustrophobic space, and you're at its mercy, because what are we going to do? Take a bus to the East Coast, right? So I just wish the airlines, yeah, you're going to maybe make a little bit less money, but, like, give us more comfort. And then you get in the debate where there's some people that think we should dress up to fly like they used to in the 70s. And I'm like, are you kidding me? There's no room. I can't breathe. You want me to be in a suit? Yes, some people actually think that. All right, God bless it. Coming up next, though, a little couples therapy. We got a Loveline listener who left us a voicemail and had a really important question about drinking. So me and licensed therapist Rebecca Sheeta will be breaking that on down, and they'll be coming back and talking about scheduling sex. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back, and it's Thursday night, so it is time for some couples therapy.
Couples therapy.
So, of course, we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Sheeta with us. What's going on, Rebecca?
Not much, Chris. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm holding it down. Still,
yeah,
getting over my amazing Valentine's Day weekend.
Is that right?
But we have a caller who left a voicemail question for us, so let's give it a listen.
Hi, Dr. Chris. I just had a question about how to approach drinking and how much consumption your partner takes part in. I'm sometimes wonder if my boyfriend drinks too much, even though he doesn't ever really get out of control. It's something that triggers me. How do I address my own feelings about how I feel about his drinking without trying to be controlling of him? Thank you.
All right. So I think that was an beautiful question.
Yeah.
And so thank you for the call. We're going to be throwing up the number for others that want to leave voicemails about topics that them and their partner might be struggling with so we can help them. So how do you enter? Let's just start very general. Mm. If someone says to you, I'm trying to make sense of my drinking or someone else's drinking in terms of how much they drink, what lens or tools, or how do you give them an ability to assess that?
You know, there's so much in this voicemail I think that I would want to address. Well, number one is one of the most important things, I think, is if something is a problem for a partner, and that's the person that called in was saying, then it's a problem.
Right.
You know, and so I guess the question is, how much are they consuming? How is it impacting their behavior? How are they acting with you? How does it, you know, change the way that they communicate or interact or change their mood state? Are they more angry with you? Are they more aggressive? Those are all the things I would wonder first.
Right. And I like that because I think sometimes in relationships, people focus a lot on me and I, and I like the idea of like thinking in terms of us and we.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a relationship with someone and you're attached, any decision you make or whatever activities you choose to participate in are going to in some way affect
right.
your partner. And
I think it's
healthy. It's not codependent. It's healthy to acknowledge that, right? Like my drinking
right.
is impacting my partner and I want to be open at least to that dialogue. So I do like that idea that it's not just a matter of like, well, I'm okay with it. And so go deal with your stuff. It's like, well, wait a minute, hold on. We're in a relationship. So it's a cycle.
Right. And if I can say personally, you know, I was married to an alcoholic. So when I first started dating him, and we were together a year before we got engaged, I remember distinctly being concerned about his consumption. And I would write it off. I would tell myself it was okay. He would like go vomit. He would drink too much.
What do you think made you, what did you tell yourself that was saying, stick around, don't really say much about it, allow it to keep going?
See that, and that's the other part that the, you know, probably the caller might want to address too, is I would tell myself a bunch of different stories. I mean, he definitely had a drinking problem early on even, but it was like, I love him. He's really good to me.
So I don't want to rock the boat.
I don't want to rock the boat. I'm 27. I want children. I don't want to go back out there. I mean, there were so many things. And then I would also tell myself it wasn't that bad.
See, it's interesting to hear that. I just came out of an engagement. Now it's probably going on 2 years ago.
Mm.
And the first couple dates, I noticed that this person had a definite problematic relationship with alcohol.
Mm.
They became very abusive.
Oh,
and I said on date three, I will not see you again if you continue to drink.
Okay.
I'm not going to demand that you get sober, stop drinking. But if you don't, I won't see you again. And they did. And
we're
sober the duration of our relationship. Because I was not willing to bring that into my life or to
right,
do that.
Right.
And so I offer that as an option to people. It is okay to say to someone that you're dating or in a relationship with, I can't tell you what to do, but I will tell you what I'm going to do.
Well, and that really, though, shows a lot of ego strength. I can tell you for myself, I didn't have that strength.
Right.
Because I think that he might have walked.
And I ran
and
that
so,
risk too.
Right.
And
I was just, too scared of that.
Yeah. I was luckily in a place where I felt like I had enough self-worth where I thought, I mean, my mental health and my happiness means more than this potential relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we both work in the field, so we know what these things can look like.
Right.
I mean, at this point in your story, you were 27. So you
right.
were a lot younger. I mean, at this point in my story, I was far older. So I appreciate you complimenting me and saying it ego strength, but I was a lot older than you were and I had worked in the field, but at 27 you hadn't.
Right.
So it's understandable maybe they didn't
right.
feel secure.
I think also what's an important piece too to look at is just your own family of origin issues. Is it possible that you are also catastrophizing over
right.
the consumption of alcohol because of your own experience in your family? And maybe is that a possibility? That's always a possibility that we might be exaggerating someone's consumption also.
Because right. it might be a level that's okay for them.
Right.
But it's a level that makes you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And it might not be because of their behavior while drinking, but you're watching the amount and that's making you unsure.
Right.
Because
right.
she did say, I'm triggered. And I'm always constantly
right.
trying to remind people that.
Yeah.
Our triggers are for us to know and learn more about ourselves.
Absolutely.
Our triggers are not so that our partner is told they must change their behavior. Triggers so we know what our work is. And yeah, I like what you're saying. So to the caller, you really have to do the difficult work of, is it truly that, as Rebecca just said, that I'm catastrophizing his drinking? Or is it truly negatively impacting himself and myself in our relationship?
Right, right.
It
and
might
is
not
this,
be.
Right. And, or is this truly a red flag? Like for me, those were red flags with my ex-husband, but I did not heed the warning. And
right.
so oftentimes the very things that are concerning to you at the beginning of the relationship, those are the things that typically end a relationship,
right?
So for him, it was alcohol, anger, and just really bad stuff with finances. And those were the things that ended it. So I didn't address the alcohol then because I told myself a story to continue in it. Right. And I like that she is really addressing this and, you know, wondering about it. That really shows some strength, too, because there's also, you know, she could just deny it and, you know, do what I did, you know.
But I like, but what, I like the word you just use, wondering, because I think that, again, I'm always looking at it on multiple levels, the targeted issue, drinking, but then the larger issue is just your relational health.
Yeah.
And I want people to work on being in a relationship where they can be very vulnerable and authentic and say, hey, honey.
Yeah,
I wanted to see if we could sit down and talk about
exactly.
your drinking because
right.
I'm struggling with it, but I want to make sure it's not your stuff. I want to see, is it my stuff or is it your stuff? And I want to have a safe space to talk this out. So good luck with that. You know, call back and let us know how it goes.
I would love to know.
And
yeah,
we're going to be posting
sure.
up the voicemail number for others that have a relationship or marital question that they want us to answer. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about scheduling sex. I know y'all like sex spontaneous, but when you got a busy, busy work schedule, sometimes you got to schedule it. And there'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on New Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, how do you confront a partner about a habit that bothers you? Ah, we've all been there. Come on. No one loves everything about their partner. Maybe it's the way they chew or how they sleep or what they eat. I dated someone once who made so much noise when they chewed that that's all I could focus on. And I was like, I don't think I can survive this. All right, we're going to be talking about that. So stick around for that, as well as playing Game Night. If you want to go up against Dr. D Thursday night or Game Night and try to win a Channel Q prize package, slide in the DMs on our Loveline IG page and tell producer Emmy that you want to play the game. Also, we have both a Loveline phone line and voicemail. So if you want to give me a call, you can at 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Thoughts, questions, concerns, weigh in on the topics, or if you just want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 213-444-6071. Again, to leave us a voicemail, 213-444-6071. And we will read, I'm sorry, we will play your voicemail on air for either our couples therapy session or our DMs. All right. So scheduling sex, you know, this is one of those amazing topics that swims around consistently. And, you know, we plan a lot of things in our lives. Vacations, right? Weekend plans, movies, trips, all sorts of things are planned. And guess what? They are still tons of fun. I know when I'm going to the movies. Why? Because I went online and purchased the tickets and I chose my seat. Does that take away from the fun of the movie? Sure doesn't. Vacations, same thing. I had to decide where I'm going, where I'm staying, book those tickets, get on a flight. I knew it a long, long time down the road. But guess what? Having been planned, it was still amazing when I got there and I was having the experience. Why? Because really fun experiences. I was going to say powerful experiences. I'm working on not saying that word as much. Really fun, dynamic experiences are still such, even when we knew that they were coming. Sex is no different. But a lot of people will knock it. They'll say, I don't want to start scheduling sex. But you know what? We live fast-paced, very busy lives. And it's really, really important for us to create space for things that are meaningful to us. So I'm all about couples having date night scheduled so that we know a week will not skip by without us having pushed everything aside and really zeroed in on just the two of us. So I'm a big fan of couples doing that. And sex is also an important thing to pair with that, especially if we're talking about someone who has a very busy schedule. Because remember, one of the most important things that kills our sex drive is stress and not having enough energy. And that's one of the number one things. And that's why people say, oh, you know, after a long day, I get home, the last thing I want to do is be sexual. Of course, you're tired, you're stressed, you're burnt out. Sex requires energy, focus, and concentration. And when we're burnt out and tired, that doesn't happen. And that's why scheduling sex, knowing it's coming, we can make that day easier, lighter, prepare, shower, go through all the rituals we need to go through, and be ready for that really important and beautiful form of bonding and intimacy building with people that are important to us. So a few things. We have these things in our lives called intimacy buffers. And it's really important for us to examine the ones that we might utilize where we think we are being present with ourselves and our partners, but in fact, we're not. And one of the most profound things I'll say to clients that I'm working with in my practice is when you get home from work or whenever you first come home, what is the first thing you do? And I want couples to realize that their partners and their relationships need to be a priority and come first. And so I want them to attend to that immediately upon entering the home and really paying attention to the intimacy buffers. Because if you are on your phone or on your computer while you're talking, engaging, or reconnecting with someone, that is an intimacy buffer. And what that means is these different activities or technologies that we use to really create distance and space, right? So a couple things. Number one, I have couples in my practice removing the televisions from their bedroom. Because watching TV in bed is an intimacy buffer. It blocks our ability to just be present with ourselves and our partner and to maybe turn to them and have those deep conversations, lead to affection, sexuality. So no television in bed, also making the bedroom a no phone zone, where when we retire to the bedroom, it is about us. Also, some couples that I work with have instilled curfews on the phone, where after a certain time, we get off our phones, because for some of us, we'll be spending time next to each other on our phones or watching television, and we qualify that as intimate time together, but it's not, because you're not leaving space to engage each other over what you're thinking, what you're watching, and even, again, lead to deeper forms of intimacy and whatnot. So I have couples paying attention to television in the bedroom, phones in the bedroom, and also turning off the phones at a certain time so that we can just encounter each other. Because if I'm on my phone and you're on your laptop, there's no space for us to bump into each other and encounter each other, right? Also, here's another really big one. Get the dogs out of the beds. There are some couples I work with who the dog has to be in their bed, and the dog often gets in the way, sleeps between them, and they've made that acceptable. Your dog will be okay sleeping on the floor or in another room. Guess what won't? Your partner and relationship. Oh, that's right. All right, prioritize that stuff, y'all. Coming up next, slide in into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. I was just eating my pad thai. I'm telling you, that stuff is so good. It's like pizza. I can eat it cold. You know, there's certain foods that are so delicious. And actually, pad thai is like pizza. I think it gets better days later. Now, you know, you can only take it so far. What's that?
It marinates.
Yeah, well said, it marinates. And that stuff is delicious cold. Okay, enough about that. Question of the night. It's up on our Love and IG page. Tonight's question is, how do you confront a partner about a habit that bothers you? Can't wait to hear about this one. I like the ones that trigger everybody. All right, time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, the guy I'm seeing usually texts me good morning every day. We usually text multiple times throughout the day. Today, he didn't text me at all. I'm worried if I ask him about it, I'll sound needy. What do you think? A few things. Look, everyone needs to know this. When we set patterns or habits in relationships, it's understandable that consciously or unconsciously or both, we count on that. And I think it's very reasonable that if a habit or pattern has been laid down, that if it shifts or changes, that you notice that and that you have feelings attached to that. So it's very reasonable for one to think, wow, you know, I usually get a text every single morning and then one morning I don't. Well, yeah, there's a reason why that shifted. And I do want you to figure out what that is. So if someone has anxiety that if they ask a question, they'll somehow be shamed or be treated like they're a problem or come off as needy, then I have a larger concern for your relationship, or you have more work to do on having enough self-esteem to say, hey, I'm worth asking important questions. So I would say, rather than unpack whether or not you will sound needy, more focus on, is my relationship so fragile that if I ask a question like, hey, I usually hear from you and I didn't, is everything okay? If that's going to be something that creates a problem, you have a bigger problem. Like, I want your relationship to be strong enough to tolerate questions like that. But I think that it is important that you ask it in a neutralized way, not implying that something was done that's wrong. Because yeah, people are allowed to forget or have another priority in the moment and realize, hey, yeah, I built a relationship rooted in trust, so it's got to be okay if sometimes I'm not able to reach out or respond as quickly as I normally do. So the question would be asked in a very neutralized way, like, hey, I never heard from you. Kind of bummed me out. I hope everything's going great. But also remember, don't be so passive or play victim to certain things. If you like to get texts every day and one day you don't get it, send it. You can create what you want to see happen. So if you want to hear from someone every day, you might have to be the one that reaches out every day saying, hey, happy, you know, good morning, what's going on? Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want to explore with confidence. Coming up next, we're going to talk about an invention that is going to help decrease date rape. It's a big one. Listen to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line.
This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, Miami Beach Pride, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. You want to go to sunny South Beach for Miami Pride? It's the biggest weekend there. It's a huge festival. If you go to wearechannelq.com, you can enter to win a trip. We will fly you and your friend to beautiful Miami Beach, set you up in a gorgeous hotel, and provide you with two VIP weekend passes. That means you'll get ice cold drinks from the open bar in the VIP lounge and also get a champagne brunch before the parade. But also note that all are welcome to the free Oceanside celebration presented by Celebrity Cruises. We are channelq.com. Enter to win. I'm not mad at stuff like that, y'all. I would take that trip. Anyway, okay, date rape. You know, we are still constantly working to keep people safe, and it's heartbreaking because a lot of date rape happens from spiked drinks at bars and clubs. We here in West Hollywood often hear stories of that happening. And three girls, through an entrepreneurship program that they went to, created an invention. It's basically a smart straw that would detect date rape drugs in your drink. Let's hear a little clip.
I'll just put it in the drink.
And let's say your drink was drugs by either GHB or ketamine.
Then when you check it, it will actually turn to the color blue.
With our research, we found out that a lot of when drugs are put into drinks, they don't only get raped, but they use them as human trafficking. So it happens a lot.
We know it's not a solution because it can't end rape, but like we're just hoping to like lower like the amount of rapes and or dangerous situations you might be in.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a huge invention, and it's pushing us forward because, unfortunately, what happens is people aren't aware of what's going on in their drink. I mean, think about what happens at a bar, a party, or an event. There's a lot of things going on, and you can't always monitor. I've watched videos where they showed someone in the background doing that, and it happens very quickly. And the most popular drugs to use to date rape someone are Rohypnol, which is the main one, and that's a roofie. That's the street term. And also GHB, and then ketamine. I have not heard of ketamine being used in that way, but nonetheless, this smart straw will detect the presence of those three things by turning a certain color if they're in the drink. I mean, they're like test strips, and I think that that's really powerful. So what are other ways, though, that we can protect ourselves? I mean, I wish that I didn't even have to have this conversation with you. I wish that it was more along the lines of, yo, don't rape people, because if people stopped raping people, we're good. But because rapists exist and people still think it's okay to not consensually have sex with someone, we sadly have to talk about protective measures so that people don't get raped. But it really falls on the rapists, and we're working on dismantling larger rape culture. We talk about that a little bit on the show. We'll talk about it more. But how are ways that we can protect ourselves? Well, first off, we are sadly at a place where you cannot accept drinks from a stranger. That's the number one way to protect yourself. If someone buys you a drink, you do not take it. If you did not literally watch that drink getting made and watch it coming to you, you don't drink it. And it's sad that that's where we're at, but that's where we're at. What are other things we can do to keep ourselves safe? Well, watch the containers being opened, watch the drink being made, and keep your eye on it to the best you can. And again, we're at the mercy of those around us as well. Also, keep your eye on your drink. We can't leave our drinks unattended. You can't put it down at a table and walk away or turn your back. Again, you're setting yourself up possibly. It's unfortunate that we have to do these things, but it's true. So you got to keep your eyes on the drink. You got to take it with you. Also, you know, if the drink looks funny, smells funny, has a strange color or taste, put it down. And there's also an element in here, the buddy system. You know, we got to have our friends looking out for us. If you see your friend leaving the drink unattended, grab it, hand it to them. If you need to leave a drink unattended, hand it to a friend to hold it for you, a friend that you trust. If you feel as though you've possibly drank in something where you're feeling off or strange, or you think it might've been spiked, tell your friends. Ask your friends to keep an eye on you. Ask them to not let you leave their sight, because that's one of the most profound ways we can be protected, is to have people around us that care about us keeping an eye on us. And so that's part of it. When you go out with your friends, be like, yo, let's always make sure we stay in contact. And if one of us is going to wander away, we take someone with us, or we let our friends know where we're going and when we'll come back. Again, I hate that we are in a culture that that is what we have to do. But unfortunately, there are still people out there that somehow think it's acceptable to take advantage of people and to drug them. Those are the most important things we can do. Pushing forward, though, on a lighter, cuter story, I love this. There is a young girl, and she is of color, and she noticed that she never had markers or crayons that she could use to try to create someone that looked like her or someone else of color, and she was tired of using peach. I do remember the old peach marker. And so she put together a skin-colored crayon kit. Let's hear a little audio about it.
Every time her classmates asked for the skin-colored crayon, they always assumed it was peach.
It just kind of made me feel weird.
That's why she launched the More Than Peach project.
The other day, I made these packets.
Bella's been creating art kits with multicultural crayons.
I just had to put a sticker on everyone.
Giving them to students at local schools.
Because then everyone would know that there's more than one skin color and not just the peach crayon.
Okay, that I'm in love with this little girl. Like, you're the cutest thing in the entire world. Like, just listening to you talk, I was like, I don't even know what you're saying. It's adorable. So God bless her. You should see her little smiley face. She's now in fourth grade. She was in third grade when this really started getting put together. Now she's in fourth grade. And again, she puts together art kits that include crayons and markers and whatnot that have a wide variety of shades and colors. So adorable. Because again, you know, mental health is truly tied to, as we talk about on the show all the time, seeing yourself reflected back, right? Really feeling valuable and important. And we can, if we don't even have crayons and markers that reflect the skin color that we have. I guess there are people that are peach colored, but if you're someone who's black or brown, like, peach doesn't really do it. And that's a really sad replacement. So looking at the photo of the crayon kit, it has all the necessary colors. Crayola back in 92, I mean, good on them. 92 is pretty far back. They had put together a 10-pack multicultural broad line of markers. And they have colors like beige, tawny. I've never heard the color tawny. Beige, tawny, what else? Bronze, mahogany, tan, sienna, terracotta, sepia, apricot. So they really went the extra mile to try to really create different colors. So I think that's awesome. I think that's adorable. So, you know, teachers, look into that. Check into like what you guys have accessible at your school and make sure you got everyone covered. All right, coming up next, game night, where a Loveline listener will go head-to-head against me to win a Channel Q prize package, which, let me just say, I'm part of putting together, and it's a pretty badass prize package. If you want to go up against me next week or the week after that, slide into the DMs and tell producer Emmy you want to play the game. And then after that, we'll be doing a little question of the night. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Yeah, you hear that music. You know what time it is. It is game night. It is game night. All right, if you want to play a game against Dr. Chris, slide into the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Tell producer Emmy you want to go head-to-head with me to win a Channel Q prize package. Tonight, we got Scarlett going against me. So basically, tonight's game is Guess That Celebrity Fetish. Producer Emmy will read a fetish, and then me and Scarlett will battle it out to see who knows which celebrities into that fetish. What's going on, Scarlett?
Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm going good.
All right, I hope you're ready. I hope you know your celebrities and their fetishes.
Let's get weird.
Let's get weird with it. All right, what you got?
The first fetish, I can't even say that I have confidence in pronouncing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
I think you got it.
I can't. I really can't with this one. Like, I like to think of myself as a pretty articulate and well-read person.
You gave it a good effort, but I have no idea what you just said.
I can't. It's the fetish where people receive pleasure from getting their armpits licked.
Okay, well done.
Oh.
I think I have this. I know I have this fetish, so, you know, luckily I'm not in the list. But
Mashalongia. Yes. There it is.
That's me.
Nia.
Okay. Armpit licking. What are the celebs?
A, Ellen Page. B, Kristen Stewart, or C, Cara Delevingne.
What do you think, Scarlett?
I'm going to go with C, Cara Delevingne.
That is a good one. You know why? My mind went there as well because of all those people. I thought that one's a little freaky. But you know what?
Yeah.
I won't go for the obvious. I'll let you have C. I'll say Ellen Page. Although she seems a little boring, maybe this is where the spice in her life shows up.
You guys are both wrong, actually.
What?
It's Kristen Stewart.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Stewie's into pit licking.
She is.
God bless her. All right. I'm not mad. All
the
right.
Next fetish is air sex, which is a real thing, and it's literally having sex with the air with no partners or any props involved.
I think I do that throughout the day frequently, actually.
Yeah?
Right?
There's actually national
Scarlett's
competitions.
Like, right?
There's national competitions. You should,
that's
you know?
Right. That's me at the
Enter
mall.
One. Okay. So, Russell Brand, B, Shia LaBeouf, C, Richard Simmons.
Oh, Scarlett. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, no. You're doing... See, we have the same mind thought. You're thinking, who's the weirder one in the list? It's going to be Shia
LaBeouf. Yeah, okay.
You know, I'll say... What are you thinking? You're still sticking with that?
I'm going to say A.
Russell Brand. All right, then I'm doing Shia. Shia, B.
Scarlett, you are correct. It is Russell Brand.
All right. So Scarlett's one. I'm a big old zero.
Right. All right. Next is foot fetish.
Foot fetish.
The foot fetish. A, Kat Von D. B, Dita Von Teese. Or C, Rob Zombie.
I know the answer.
Oh, dang.
I'm not 100% sure. I'll go first. And I think it's B. I think I read this somewhere. I think it's B, Dita Von Teese. What do you think, Scarlett?
I'm going to say C.
It is Dita Von Teese.
Yay! B. Bam, 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 bam. All right. That means Scarlett's one. One. We are tied. I know. We're tied, though. There's room for a comeback.
The next fetish is olfactophilia, where you are turned on by smells. A, Daniel Radcliffe, B, Robert Pattinson, or C, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, man.
I'm going to say B, I forgot his name. Yeah.
Robert Pattinson?
Pattinson, yeah.
Oh, man. Who was A again?
Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter.
All of them are like the same person in my head.
Exactly. I chose people that are like,
like
each
it blends.
Other
it blends. These, yeah. All right, I'll go with A.
The answer is B, Robert Pattinson.
Wow. Ooh, well
another
done,
one for Scarlett.
Scarlett's got 2 points. Yay. Dr. D's got one. All right.
Next one is menophilia, sexually aroused by the menstruation blood of a woman. A, Shaquille O'Neal. B, Scottie Pippen. Or C, Tiger Woods.
What?
menophilia.
God. Scarlett, what is your thought process on this one? What are you doing to figure out who it is? Because I don't even know where to begin with this
You
one.
Know, there really isn't right now. Okay. I'm just trying to figure out who
Yeah, I think we're just in the dark, throwing a dart. So what do you
think?
But
the only person I really know is Shaquille, so maybe I'll go with Shaq. Yeah,
okay.
You know, just...
I got to keep it familiar. Who were the other two?
Scottie Pippen.
Right.
Or Tiger Woods.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Woodsy.
Tiger Woods.
The answer is Shaquille O'Neal.
Damn,
Scarlett. Killing it.
She's got three. Scarlett's got three. All right. How many do we have left?
We have time for about two more.
Okay. So I can still do a comeback. So 3-1, two left. All right. This next one's the decider.
I have tiebreakers as well.
This next one's the decider, though.
All right. Okay. Here we go.
Voyeurism, ready. Sexual pleasure from watching others who are naked or having sex. Is it A, Macaulay Culkin, B, Haley Joel Osment, or C, Shia LaBeouf?
My God.
Ooh. I might go with A, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, it's so funny. That's where my mind went. But you know what? I'll go with LaBeouf because he's an interesting one.
The answer is Shia LaBeouf.
Yes! All right, so Scar's got three, I got two. We have one more question left, so either it's going to be a tie or Scar's going to crush me. So let's see.
Here we go. The triple threat of fetishes. This person is into food play, BDSM, and has a foot fetish. Is it A, Jack Black, B, Ricky Gervais, or C, Adam Sandler?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I'm gonna say Jack Black.
Okay, I'm gonna say
Nacho Libre all the way.
Yeah, right. That's actually pretty reasonable.
Get that cord out of my face.
I'll do Ricky Gervais, even though I'm thinking she's right with Jack Black.
The answer is Jack Black,
wow,
the big old
Scarlett!
Freak.
You crushed, you dominated, you came, you owned me. All right, well, Scarlett wins. She gets a Channel Q prize package, which is full of all sorts of good stuff. Charlotte, hang on the line. We're going to get your info to send out your package. Thank you for playing against me tonight.
Thank you. Woo, I'm so excited.
If
Thanks,
you want
guys.
To play against me next week, slide into our Loveline IG and let producer Emmy know, and you might win the Channel Q prize package. Coming up next, though, question of the night. So there's still some more time to weigh in on that. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. 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 Loveline.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, time for question of the night.
Question of the night.
Tonight's question was, how do you confront a partner about a habit that bothers you? Let's see what y'all said. First one is, BJHeads10 said, try to at the moment. Doesn't always go according to plan, though. Yeah, I like that sometimes as it's happening so that they can't say, what are you talking about? I never do that. It's like, I'm watching you do it right now. Somebody else said, be open and honest about it and always with good intentions and have compassion. Bam. Compassion. Compassion. Always frame your interactions with other people. Whoop. Wrap it up in compassion. Somebody else said, as far as how do you confront a partner about a habit that bothers you, by asking them if this is a healthy time to bring something up to them. Oh, see, I love things like that, right? Make the request. Because if you say, hey, is it a great time? Can I bring something up that I wanted to talk about? And if they say yes, then they've given you the green light. And it kind of unconsciously says to them, and I'm going to expect you to sit there lovingly hear me and be an adult, right? So I like that. Frame it that way. Somebody else says, cook a nice, lovely, delicious dinner first. Reel him in like a fish. Then tell him or her, laugh out loud. I love that. I mean, it's really funny. Soften them up, reeling them in, as you say, like a fish with a nice meal, and then drop it on them. Somebody else said, as far as how to confront a partner about a habit that bothers you, Cole Austin says, tell them. I think you're being funny. I don't know if you are, but that's actually true. I don't know if that's literally what you meant. I often say that in my office. They're like, how do I? I'm like, by doing it. There's no magic bullet. There's no special way. Just do it. Somebody else said, by talking to them, question mark, what happened to clear communication? I get it. I know what you mean. But some people are giving us some other ideas as to how to round it out. You know, make them a nice dinner. Ask them ahead of time if they're open to hearing this. Question of the night, how to confront a partner about something that bothers you. Someone said, I would bring it up, test the waters, but ultimately, it's not their problem if I have an issue with a habit of theirs. I have the choice to be with them or not, so it is weird to try and change who they are or what they enjoy doing. It's true. It's true. A lot of times what makes us anxious shows us where our work is, and it's not our partner's job to not do things that disturb us or make us anxious. It's okay for us to say, I need to let them be, and I have to do my work on just calming down and letting them be. Also trying to find a cuteness in their idiosyncratic ways. You know, I can be a little nutty, and you know, it's important that I date people that find the sweetness in that. Someone else says, as far as confronting a partner about something that bothers you, if it was something unhealthy like drinking, my personal taste would be to force her to confront her problem, as it's the only plausible explanation for why she might be single in the future. Wow, I was real. All right, that was real. All right, I think we were bumping in a few other things there. And finally, someone said if it was something that was causing them harm, I would try to tell them in a loving way to lose the habit. But if it's something like nail biting, then there isn't too much to do. You tolerate it. Love is about accepting people's annoying traits, right? It sure is. Sure is. All right, thanks to all those that participated. Coming up next, sliding into those DMs, listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Miami Pride, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We are channelq.com. You can go there and get your chance to win. We are going to fly you and a friend to Miami Beach, put you up in a gorgeous hotel, and give you both VIP weekend passes. Now, the free Oceanside celebration is presented by Celebrity Cruises. All are welcome to that. But we are channelq.com is your place to try to win the passes, the flight, the hotel, and a champagne brunch before the parade for your boozy self. All right, now it's time for a DM.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore it with confidence. Here we go. My stepmom has always been emotionally abusive and manipulative and controlling. My father and I have a strained relationship. I instituted a strict no-contact boundary with my stepmom last fall. My grandmom died last month, and my stepmom and dad will be at the funeral. I've compartmentalized my grief and can only focus on what the confrontation will be like. She very well may play victim, making me look mean and unforgiving to the family. I don't want to create a scene. I don't even want to think about her anymore. I want to mourn my grandmother and be present at her service. Any advice? Yes. You maintain that boundary. You do not allow yourself to be forced into a conversation with someone who is toxic and not healthy. You go because it's meaningful for you, apparently, to participate. And I don't say apparently as though it shouldn't be. but it's obviously meaningful for you to be there, and you want to participate in mourning with whatever family members you feel safe with. So a couple things. As I said, keep your boundary. This isn't a time where you have to necessarily relax that. Number two, we never have to talk to anyone that we're not interested in having a conversation with. So you get to keep distance on that level as well. Maybe bring someone who is a good buffer or boundary with you, or tag along with a family member and let them be aware of the fact that you're trying to keep space from your stepmom. And go. Mourn, participate in whatever way feels safe and most comfortable to you. And when you have hit that level of doing what you're there to do, you exit. I mean, there are going to be times in our lives where we might be forced to share space with people that we don't feel safe with, or we have boundaries with, or are quite toxic. And you have to decide. For some people, they'll say, I'm going to pass on attending the event. It's far too difficult for me to stay regulated while this person's there. Or they go and they hold that boundary while they're there. It's not mean. It's not punishing. Stay focused on what you're there for. Engage the people that you want to engage, and make it about you and help healthy way. Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world and we want you to explore it with confidence. We'll be back Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, but set some self-care goals for your weekend. I always do that. On Fridays, I wake up and I decide what are some self-care goals I have for this weekend. What are things I'm going to do and plan that are not rooted in productivity? They're not going to increase my stress, deplete my energy levels, but are going to really nourish me and make me feel more grounded. And for me these days, it tends to be taking baths, because it forces me to sit still and to slow down. And also I carve out a couple hours to go just read quietly with headphones at a favorite coffee shop. So figure out what it's going to be for you, but set those intentions and really track what might get in the way of having that happen. Because again, our mental health has to be one of the most prioritized center points of our focus when our weekends show up. And if you're working over the weekend, then you figure that out during the week. It's kind of something I want everyone to start to do when whatever their days off are, is to really kind of zero in on that. So we'll talk more about that, though. As I remind you, I remind myself. But wearechannelq.com is where you go to listen to our podcast. All of our radio shows are planted there. You can go back, binge, post, share, whatever you need to do. Y'all have a good weekend. Thanks for hanging out with me, and have an awesome, awesome night.